The Steamrollers
Adventure Podcast
contains mature language
and situations.
Discretion
is advised.
Episode 69. And I'm so glad Robbie's not here to make jokes about the episode number. Anyway, welcome to the Steamrollers Adventure Podcast, folks. The robots are still on strike. In fact, let's...
What do we want?
Let's take a walk out the window.
What do we want? Zero. What do we want? One.
Yeah,
when
pretty
do we
much.
Want it?
You're going to
what
get
do we want?
Zero.
One.
All right. Well, if you're new to the show, I'll give you a very brief rundown. Ever hear of D&D? Dungeons and Dragons? Steampunk? Role-playing? Tabletop games? Combine all of those, and that's us, with a little comedy thrown in because we enjoy banter. We have a very lively table, and we often tease, joke, jape, what have you, and generally have a blast. For us, it goes pretty much like this. Number one, a fun gathering of friends. Number two, the characters. Number three, the story. Number four, the game, or the rules, which I pretty much make up. All right, before we get into today's chapter, let me tell you how to reach us. You could subscribe and review on iTunes. Please review. We'll read it on the air, and we'll be very happy to do so. You can become a patron over at patreon.com/steamrollersadventurepodcast. And there's lots of cool stuff there and something new every week. And if you don't believe me, shout outs. Krista, Jeff, Chris, and our newest patron, Rob Day. Rob's been a longtime retweeter for the show and jumped in to offer his contribution. So thank you so much, Rob, and to our other patrons as well. We couldn't do this show without you. Well, we could, but in time we'd be thinking about having to shut it down. But you guys like make the fact that you enjoy the show a tangible thing, and your contributions actually help us make things better. We've already upgraded some wiring and we've got some other stuff in store. So thank you so, so much. Anyway, we always also have an ear open. And so far, these guys have not been shy about some great suggestions. If you're a patron of the show, we will actively listen. And, I don't want to say we don't listen to suggestions from our other fans, because we do in reviews and whatnot. But, if you're a patron of the show and you've got some ideas, you're like as good as being at the table with us. We really appreciate that. And let's see. Okay, speaking of Twitter, which is where I met Rob Day, or he met the show, please Ko-fi-fi us. Is that getting old? Is that jumped the shark already? All right, last time saying it. You can reach us on Twitter at SteamrollersPC. We are on Facebook, Steamrollers Adventure. And if you visit my website, which is rigstories.com, that's RIGGSTORIES.com. Rig is my last name. Stories is what I do. You can find out a lot about me, the show, the books, and so much more. This week, we circle back to our representative from Canada and the superb artist who does our growing portrait, which you'll find represented in our show notes and retweets, Jen, who plays Constance Stevens. In this chapter, we find our mentally taxed psychic coping with the visions and nightmares that she's been having as the Charlagans Performance and Fairy Review pays a visit to a local work camp to entertain the troops. Will they be welcome? Will the troops be entertained? Let's find out. Previously on the Steamrollers Adventure Podcast.
Since Red has gone MIA. Question, now you said that Red, your mentor bounty hunter, was older?
Yes.
And how old is Connie?
Connie, I think I wrote that she's 18. She's quite young.
Oh, okay. Your natural psychic intuition continually prods you to move westward. You recently also began having horrible nightmares about blood raining from the sky, a doomsday portent that seems to become more and more real with each army post you perform in. You're looking for an escape, and now with Red gone, you are truly on your own. You're out there, kind of on your own, looking off into the distance. Maybe not so much pining as wondering. I don't know. It's your character. You're going to have to tell me what context to put this in. But thoughts of Red once again, and whether or not you'll ever see him again. The caravan has pretty much passed the point of where he was going to come back and meet you. And as I said, it's been a couple days past due for him. There's probably no hope of seeing him again, and yet still he's out there somewhere, and he's an excellent tracker. I'm sure he could find four heavy wagon rut paths through the woods to where you're at now. And not only that, but as part of the troop, he knew which way you guys were headed. So there's still the hope that he could come back. So every night when the wagon train stops and makes a circle of wagons, Freddy and Dungle take care of the horses and donkeys while everyone else either, does their laundry and hangs up lines between the trailers or the wagons or builds a fire, sets up tents, what have you. You go off on your own to, off in the woods, you hear a sound breaking you from your reverie or your contemplative nature. It sounds like tree limbs cracking. You hear leaves being thrashed, branches cracking, and then a very sick-sounding thud, like something has fallen from a height through the trees.
All right, well, I'm curious. I think Connie is curious, even though maybe she's probably should be thinking better of it, but let's go and as quietly as possible.
Pull the lever. Something slowly very tightly in his hand. All right. Yeah, the hand does not give. And so you're going to try to pry open his fingers, or you said?
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh. It is a cylindrical object. It's a rather hard and firm cylindrical object. No, stop. Before you even go there. Before you even push me there.
Oh, right. It's always us.
It's a hard rod of some sort. God, there's just no way to describe this. What did I write down? Yeah, a rod. Approximately the length of a pencil, unsharpened.
A used pencil, unsharpened pencil.
Yes, and about as big around as a penny, let's say.
Okay.
A small coin, again, Rupert. I don't know if your pennies are the
same size. We have pennies over here.
I know, but are your pennies the same size as our pennies?
Who's there?
The figure steps out from behind the trees and becomes a human-sized shadow. It's still too dark to actually see, and as Bligo gets closer, if this being remains in the open, a flash of the light will give away who or what it is. But now they're standing boldly as if you could see them, but you can't. It's not only that it's dark... They are much darker than dark, if that makes sense. So what are you going to do? Still closer to the it than to the Bligo. Because Bligo, for a moment, is running
around. I'm going to fall back a couple more steps, I think. Because that's a little creepy.
Yeah. Yeah, you fall back a couple of steps, and it takes a couple of steps. Like, as you step, like they're connected to you. Yeah. Like they knew when you were
going to step. This is getting
all kinds of Peter Pan. Yeah, it is.
It seems nice.
I don't know about that.
Feed it.
No. It's after
offered,
midnight. It?
Offer it a Nilla wafer.
A finger.
Daddy. Says Bligo.
Daddy. Hey. Are you out here?
This time, I think at this point, Connie's probably freaked out enough or unsure. So yeah, I will raise my voice and just say yeah to Bligo. Sorry.
Oh, there you are. He's like coming closer, shining the light more in your direction. In fact, it flashes in your eyes a couple times.
Oh.
The figure says,
Is it still keeping a distance or has it come closer?
It's keeping its distance, and you see it as the light flashes across it. It appears to be a woman made of black glass.
Go ahead. Connie's gonna take some more quick steps back towards wherever Legs is.
Okay. Yeah, and
but obviously mindful of that figure, right, to make sure to see if she's following or if she's gonna fast, then Connie's gonna run.
The light flashes around, his flashlight flashes back and forth, and there's that momentary glimpse that you caught of the woman, the it, whatever it is, and then the light hits the trees. When it swings back, she appears to be gone, although you still sense her nearby, and Bliggs is now in your vicinity. You are blocking him from seeing the body, and let's say there's
broken branches and leaves and such that will keep him from seeing it unless you step aside and say, hey, look what I found. What do you do? He's close enough to where he would, like, reach out for your arm and, like, you know, probably, what are you doing out here?
It got cold. I think we should, I need to get back to the camp.
Crying out loud.
Try to, like, hurry him towards the camp.
There's, like, wolves and foxes out here. You could be ate alive.
Yeah, I think I saw a fox. You're right, little fox. Scary teeth thing.
Chapter 7, Digger's Town.
You are listening to the Steamrollers Adventure Podcast, an actual play tabletop role-playing comedy show based on the fiction of Michael J. Rigg. Now, let's see what trouble our heroes are in this week.
All right, let's go over to Canada. Let's go to Connie, or Constance Stevens, a.k.a. Connie Ross. Mm-hmm. And let the folks know, is Connie Ross your stage name?
Yes, it's the stage name.
And I'm not going to point out the fact that you have a plus to a performance dress because I've already received flack from pointing out nothing but, you know, referring constantly to your character's clothing. Like I have some sort of obsession. I was only pointing out that everybody else has weapons of some sort and you have a dress with a plus.
Must be a nice dress.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's her, you know, her stage dress. When she gets a plus two charm when she sings in it.
What does this dress do?
It covers her body.
It looks pretty.
It's pretty.
But she also does have something. Nigel and brain fart. Oliver didn't have at the beginning of the last session, and that is weapons. She's got a derringer and a knife.
Oh,
Nigel technically has a weapon.
Nigel is a weapon, right?
Well, and he has the cane.
Right. Yeah, he does have the cane. Oh, yeah, and video game fashion, of course, since he did take his chattels and whatnot with him to the cargo area, you do have your cane with you. All right. Tell us what happened last time with Constance. I know there's quite a lot, but what can you share with the crowd who doesn't remember last week's... The show from... it would be a few weeks ago, probably.
I don't know, where should I start?
I'll get you started. You're with a caravan of performers. Let me see, you had, that's folded over. Yeah, there are four wagons, basically circling a fire in the woods in northeastern Missouri.
Are they like gypsies?
Something like a gypsy caravan, yeah, because they're all performers. And, you know, wagon one, or Sharla Gans. Sharla is the leader of the troupe, the performance mistress, as it were. Also in that wagon are the two singers, which is our very own Connie, and Teresa Wonder. Wagon two are the fairy dancers, Vixen, Yolanda, Willow, and Aggie.
Willow.
And the third wagon were two musicians and a comedian, Eddie B.,
Eddie B.
Where can I see this show at?
Eddie B. On the road.
On the road, baby.
And Barbara Bliggs, who is the wife, the harp player and wife of the comedian slash clown, Lonnie Bligo Bliggs.
Bligo Blig?
Bligo Bliggs. And the final one is just a wagon full of roadies, Freddie, Chuck, Dungle, and Joffrey.
Joffrey?
Dungle. And Joffrey. Spelled,
I don't like that.
Spelled Joffrey. And, they had stopped for the night to set up camp. You had horrible, horrible nightmares about blood raining from the sky.
Where are that from?
Yeah, I don't know.
And couldn't sleep, so, like, in the middle of the night, went off into the woods a little bit to kind of clear your mind and just, you know, cold and frosty, and you could see your breath and all that, and then there was a sound. Tell us about the sound and what you found.
Right, something fell through the trees. So I, of course, decided to go and investigate. And there was a headless body in the middle of a clearing in the forest. And investigation, I found a neat... Should I be bringing this up? Is that okay?
Sure.
Found a glass rod. Wow. Which had some gold lines kind of working through the carvings on it. That's small. Some like pencil sized.
Some sort of filament. Yeah, as big around as a penny and as long as an unsharpened pencil.
What? Hey, would you? Hey.
And there was no ID on the body, but just as Connie was leaving, well, I guess she felt that there were eyes watching her, and then there was this, after calling out to it because she was curious who was there, what was going on, this creepy black glass woman figure.
Oh no!
That I only got a brief glance of, appeared
and said, "Constance."
Yeah, I was not going to do that. Yeah. But yeah.
Called you by name. And you drew your derringer and fired at it. No.
No, because the caring, the overprotective troop clown had run out to find Connie.
Shining a flashlight in your face.
Yes. Yes. And in doing that, I guess it made them kind of disappear.
Right. And is that where we left off?
Other than investigating and looking closer at that glass rod.
Yes.
That was really it.
Yes. And it's rather heavy. And you have that on your person in a coat pocket, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
rather than in your lockbox.
Oh, right. And it reacted to mention of moving to the next camp, actually, the next day.
Yes, it did. What did it do? It, like, hummed.
Camp Dupris? Dupree?
Dupree. Yes, Dupree. Camp Dupree, which is the next designation of the wagon train of... Charlagan's performance and fairy review. Yeah, the fairies would be the four dance who are small figured.
Like fairies?
Yeah, like fairy stature. What you would see at a Ren fair, probably.
Yeah.
And they do Cirque du Soleil style improvisational dance to the harp music of Mrs. Bligo.
What?
Bligs. All right. Connie, it is next day. You awake because you had slept in a little bit after having a fitful night. Oh, yes, and you did have another nightmare.
More nightmares. Yes, you did leave off with that nightmare.
A nightmare. This involved people either, frolicking or writhing in puddles of blood in streets or killing each other and walking through these bloody masses of people doing unspeakable things. Was this black glass female moving towards you and pointing at you and again saying,
"Nothing spooky about that."
Not at all.
Not at all. That's totally normal.
Yes.
I've had that dream once or twice myself.
So you...
I was wearing a dress, too.
Would you stop? You wake to the movement of the wagon. Teresa nearby is like basically slapping together a sandwich. And really? She looks over her shoulder and says, "Oh, you've woken up finally."
Sleeping Beauty.
Sleep well?
That would be you, Connie.
Yeah. Well enough. Thanks.
Yeah, well, you've... Hold on.
What now?
Y'all. I was trying to settle my accent for her. Well, as restless as you've been sleeping, it's surprising that you get any rest at all. So I decided not to disturb you. She holds out this floppy, weak-ass sandwich that she made. She's hungry?
Slapped together.
Yeah, she just slapped together. Basically, bread, slab of meat, bread.
Yummy.
Hungry?
What does the sandwich look like? Does it look pretty?
It's sloppy, but I mean, as you guys are traveling,
hungry.
Yeah, your wagon group is your performance group is kind of is rather poor. You get what you can take, so it's surprising that you had any bread or meat to eat anyway.
Okay.
Charla has taken a lot of IOUs for you guys' performance.
Oh,
it's like she's more interested in being part of the performance community than actually making money from it, which is sad for the rest of you. But the roadies and a couple of the performers go out to the nearest towns and do what they can to, bring back money or cash in chips, as it were. Still, things are skimpy, scarce.
It's rough on the road.
A little bit, yeah. Roll a 20 against your stamina. I wouldn't cash in any chips. This is basically to see if you really are hungry. You need a 14 or better.
I thought it was based on whether or not you could keep down that stamina.
I rolled 10, so I'm thinking she's hungry.
She's hungry, yeah.
Well, Connie, well, she nods to Teresa after a few moments. And well, bless your heart. I'll take that sandwich. Thank you.
Let's hear her eat it now.
No. No eating sounds. George, did you want to help out there? Ray?
Yeah, I don't think
that's
no.
Special.
She's eating it dainty, like.
Really? Stop!
All right. Oh, so, all right. So, while she is daintily eating the sandwich. Teresa
picking at it.
Yeah, picking at it. Yeah, pulling it apart with her fingers. Nibblings.
Teresa thinking about the nightmares and stuff that happened the night before. And the glass rod is still there. It wasn't all a dream, right?
Yeah, it is still there. It wasn't all a dream. Right. So as the covered wagon rocks and rolls along the rutted path, makeshift road, so to speak, toward Camp Dupree... Yeah, she says that, what was his name? Not Dungle, but Chuck. Chuck and Freddy had gone on ahead of the troop during the night to scout out the camp, so she's like, they haven't come back yet. So, you want to tell me what you've been dreaming about with all your fitful kicking? It's a rather cramped wagon, and you, Teresa, and Charla pretty much have to sleep in it, kind of cramped. Although, it does help the fact that it's...
Side to side?
It's, no, Ray, in the shape of a T.
Oh.
Or an H.
Those are nice, too.
Would you stop? The, it being a covered wagon and the nights here being cold, it being late November, the body heat is a welcome thing. But anyway, she points out that you pretty much thrash around in the night with your nightmares, and she asks you to tell her about them.
Connie kind of rubs at her eyes and shakes her head. I don't really remember what I'm dreaming about. Sorry.
How could you not?
With all that thrash.
Must be kicking.
Connie just kind of eats her sandwich still and avoids looking at her. She says, I don't remember.
She says, are you, I don't think I ever talked to you about this. Are you close to your father?
Ooh, what's that?
That's personal. Mm.
You miss your father, don't you?
Connie's just silent, and then finally she nods.
Because, I mean, you know, in your fitful dreams, you do call out for your father. This is not something that Constance recalls. And as an aside, what was the relationship with your parents? Or do you have parents? Or are they...
That's complicated. Yeah, Connie left her family... I don't know, how much do I describe of this? They were a fairly well-to-do Confederate family, and Connie left. She ran away from her parents and her siblings.
Okay, yeah, she ran away from home and...
And joined up with this group.
Right.
Good choice.
So it wasn't... So your father is alive, but the fact that Teresa is referring to you calling out for him is kind of strange, obviously, because you have no conscious thought of that. You left home. You and Red ended up hooking up with this group, and you're learning to be a spy and bounty hunter and trying to make some meager wages while performing, singing, and all of a sudden she says to you're calling out for your father.
She's lying.
Did I say anything else?
No, you're pretty much just calling out for your father.
Liar!
Father, where are you? Father, come back to me. Things like that.
Yeah.
You honestly don't remember?
No, I don't. Sorry.
Roll a 20.
No, she doesn't remember.
Okay.
She just remembers the dreams of blood and whatnot.
Of blood, which she's not going to tell her about.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just a side effect.
All right.
And we know Scooby's doing.
So the wagon comes to a stop, and you hear Madame Gans talking to Chuck and Freddy. They have returned on the road on foot.
Chuck.
You just hear basically that the army camp is broken that you are going to, and they've moved on. They've left nothing else there. They obviously left in a hurry This is what you're picking up from the conversation you're overhearing. They left a lot of things behind, so it's like the army's mobilizing. No, they didn't leave any scouts behind. They didn't leave any messages behind. So Captain Dupree has moved on his company. But there is a ray of hope for the traveling troupe of performers. What's his name? Chuck then points out that not far from where Camp Dupree was, there's another camp. Looks like a work camp. Not like a concentration work camp, but more like a
logger camp.
Like a logger camp.
Mining camp.
Logger, mining, what have you. And suggests
maybe we can go there, get something done.
Yes, let's go there.
Yeah, Chuck is a bad actor. We can go there.
Yes, let's go.
Overhearing this, Constance, you want to throw in your 2 cents or just absorb that?
I think just absorb that. Okay.
The sandwich was delicious.
What she ate.
Yes. yes, daintily and silently.
Mm-hmm. Ray.
Good God.
George, I think they know you're chewing by now.
All right. So, Charla's like, well,
yeah, sure. We're going to head on that way. We need to get whatever we can.
And beyond that, there's Barthens Point, Missouri. And that's a large town. That's a logging town. And
muy grande.
Be able to make some money there for sure. At least get something. But yeah, we'll stop at that work camp, find out what we can. So the wagon train.
I hear the mayor's wife's supposed to be rich.
Heads on. The wagon train heads on. And Chuck and Freddy hop back in the last wagon. I want you, Connie, to roll a 20.
Uh-oh, here it is. Espiritu Santo and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what am I rolling with 24? Do you just want to know the roll?
Yes, I know. I'm looking see here what
you
may or may not apply. All right. I don't think there's anything that applies. You can use your plus one to any luck. Not going to be much. And you're not going to need anything in particular. Actually, I want you to roll 3 20s. The numbers will determine the level at what I'm about to describe.
Ooh!
Okay, 3 20s. Gotcha. Yes. I actually have 3 20s. We'll do this. An 18, a 20, and a 15. I'm not lying. That's awesome.
What, a natural 20?
Yes.
What?
Hey. Oh, look at that. I'm going to run out of gold chips.
I'm sure this is the only time these days we'll ever roll this well for me. So.
Yeah, what's the matter, Ray? How many chips you got, Ray?
I've got one. A blue one.
That's why cool. So blue, Ray?
Why so blue?
I play Martin Barnett. You should know why.
Sorry.
All right. You have a gold and a blue added to your stack.
Yay.
You have a very vivid waking dream.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes. Of this black figure that you saw in your nightmares.
Sexy.
That you ran into in the woods. This black glass female figure. And your own hand reaching out with the glass rod, handing it to her, or it. And her taking it and attaching it to... It'd be like a T-shaped device with openings on 3 sides into which the glass rod attaches. It makes a T. Or, if you will, something like the hilt of Kylo Ren's lightsaber.
Dude, why are you bringing that into here?
I don't... Well, because I'm describing the shape. If a T wasn't enough. Yeah, she or it plugs it into one part of that and gives it a twist and then holds her hand out as if asking for more. Probably the other 2 rods that attach to the bottom and other side of it.
What'd you do with them?
She doesn't have any such thing.
I don't have them. I didn't even know there were more. At least Bonnie didn't know there were more.
So the black figure appears to grow angry at you and throws the thing aside, the glass contraption that it made from the 2 parts, throws it aside and approaches you with very sharp fingers, claw-like fingers, gouging them into your eyes.
Woo!
Yes. You flinch, snap out of it. I want you to roll a 20 to control yourself, and this will be against your... I'm going to put this against morphology, and you really have no pluses that apply, so you will need to beat a 15.
Beat a 15!
Which, honestly,
you got a gold.
I rolled 12, so...
No, roll 9.
So did you cash in any chips, did you say? Or
no, I did not.
You
no.
did not, and you got a 12.
Does she have any pluses?
Oh, she does not have any pluses for this.
I'm just trying to help you.
Well, you're not helping.
How about red chips?
No, stop.
Green chips?
She did not. No, we're not helping. Green chips. You want to pay your way out of this?
So does she
I
scream
don't want to scream.
Out?
Please just take my money.
Yeah.
All right. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. I will roll with it.
Connie screams. She screams, jumps up from where the bench slash cot she was sitting on. If she had if she hadn't eaten the sandwich, she would have thrown it. Spins around, screaming about her eyes. Your eyes are tightly clenched shut. Your arm swings out and punches Teresa Wonder.
Damn, I was hoping I could pass that off as just seeing a buck, but that's gone way too far.
Right. Knocking her back, pots and pans clatter. Charlotte turns around. The horses, you know, she doesn't need to watch the road because the horses know where to go. And it's just basically agape at what's happened. You can take it from here because the waking vision is gone.
Damn these eyes!
You still feel a sort of a resonant pain in your eye sockets, your eyes. You felt every part of the sharp fingers piercing the orbs of your eyes and then popping and then reaching into your brain and then came out of it.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, that's an ouch.
I think Connie's just going to sit down back on the bench and, like, curl up in as much of a ball as she can. Just put her arms around her knees.
I hate you, world!
Teresa's like, what? Hard. What in the hell? She's, like, rubbing the side of her face. Are you all right?
I think Connie's just, I don't know.
Charlotte, we need to find her a doctor. She just hauled off and cold-cocked me.
What did I do?
He punched her.
I know.
Flailing. She's
been wanting to do that a long time, too.
Teresa, who is a friend of yours, is going to come over and like, wrap her arms around your shoulders. And are you sure you're all right? Now, behind the wagon, that is, the second wagon in the train are the dancers. And three of the four of them are sitting on the bench, guiding their horses, and it would be Vixen, Yolanda, and Willow. And they're kind of agape because through the opening in the back of your covered wagon, they saw the whole thing. They saw you stand up, scream, and punch Teresa. And they're probably whispering to each other.
Well, there goes the show. We're ruined now.
Charlotte says,
do I need to stop?
Does Connie respond?
Connie just takes a moment to try to compose herself and says, no, I'm fine. Sorry, I just...
Bad sandwich.
That was a spider.
Nah, I can't cover that up.
Punch her again and say, I told you I hate pastrami, bitch.
No, I really don't think Connie's going to be that quick in that moment to come up with that.
Well, you travel in peace for the next couple of miles. Let me know if there's anything in particular you're going to do. No other waking vision or nightmare haunts you. Teresa continues to console you, make sure that you're all right, and when it seems that you are, she leaves you alone, and she goes back to a book she's reading.
I think Connie's going to move, if it's possible in the small thing, to get away from people in case that happens again, so don't punch somebody else.
Yeah, it's kind of close quarters, but from all the way in the back of the wagon, you could probably avoid flailing. You'd have to, like, get up, take two steps, and start, you know, roundhouse punching at... Oh, my eyes! Damn you!
If you throw yourself backwards, you're likely to fall out of the wagon. But...
Right, yeah, yeah. The other consequence is you'd fall out of the wagon, and the dancers' horses will trample you, but...
That's okay. I'll take that risk.
Trample. New word, trample. Yeah. That does not happen. At least I don't think it does. Roll a 20.
8.
Nah, it doesn't happen. You're fine. I was waiting to see if you were going to roll a 1.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, you scream, you rip the entire wagon to pieces, you throw Teresa back under the horses.
No.
And you scream, fuck this caravan!
That's a regular Charles Humphrey right there.
Hey.
She blacks out and kills everyone.
Oh, no. That was my character this time.
All right.
And she has daddy issues.
Yeah, there's that too. All right. The wagon train pulls into, you go past Camp Dupree, and you could see where the camp has been struck. They had a small guard tower there that is still there. Some of the tents are actually still there, but you can see the rectangles of dirt and straw where other tents had been set up, and one of the campfires is actually still smoldering a little. So yeah, the army left in a hurry. Beyond that, you get to there's a sign on a post. It says Diggerstown. And you start, the wagon train heads into Diggerstown. As you're passing through it, you can see through the from the back of the wagon makeshift wooden clapboard cabins and tents. Kind of a rundown place. There's some shouting and the sound of axes falling on wood. And it is actually a logger's camp. And the wood's being cut and planed into planks and loaded onto wagons and such. The wagon train, because since it is a performer's caravan, I should say the wagons are draped with colorful cloth and banners. The lead one, of course, the one that you're in, actually announces Charlagan's performance and fairy review. Some of the guys in the work camp point and laugh. Some of them rub their hands together like, oh, girls. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so good luck. This is going to be fun.
Girls, girls, awesome. Girls.
And some whistle. There's some wolf whistling. And the dancers, the fairy dancers, are like sticking out their chests and waving and blowing kisses. And they're collecting all of the attention.
Bitches.
The wagon train comes to a stop. And man starts yelling at Sharla.
What the Sam hell are you doing here?
And she's like, we're a performance review. We came to offer some respite and some entertainment for your hard work. And
I don't want you here. Get the fuck out of here. Keep moving that thing straight on through. Come on, move it.
She's like, sir, if you just give me 5 minutes.
He pulls a gun and points it at her.
Wow.
Constance, roll a 20.
Is his name Carl Humphrey?
I think so.
17, you said? Around.
Yes. 17.
All right, you get a very clear flash, since you're a psychic, that he will kill her. Not that it's written in stone. It's not a prediction. It's a flash of his intention. He's not bluffing. He will. He will shoot.
Connie, we're in the same caravan thing,
yes,
right?
In the same wagon. Yes.
Same wagon. That's what I was looking for. Words.
Yeah, you're all the way in. You're all the way in the back of the covered wagon. Teresa's in the middle, and Charla is like standing at the bench where you guide the horses.
Well then, yeah, Connie's gonna speak up from the back and just sort of like, Charla, don't be a ninny. Let's get out of here.
And let me see what Charla's gonna do.
That was very forceful. I'd move.
Don't be a ninny. Yeah, don't be a ninny. Mark.
They don't swear.
She either doesn't hear you, doesn't pay attention, or ignores you.
Oh, she's getting a bullet.
Uh-oh.
And says,
sir, if you just give me 5 minutes of your time.
He cocks the pistol. You get that same flash again.
We're going to have to grab the reins.
So she is on the wagon?
She is standing on the wagon.
Still,
yeah.
Pardon?
She is standing on the at the front of the wagon, yes. She is still on the wagon. Now, behind you, let's say you glance back, you see that three of the four fairies have dismounted from their wagon, and they're flirting with the workers who have come to gather around it.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Predicament.
So you can't really move in any particular hurry unless you want to leave the fairies behind. And as far as the other two wagons behind them, you can't, because you're in a single file, you can't see just how sand people travel. Yes, I've infused another Star Wars reference into the Steamrollers Adventure podcast. Just ignore it. Let's move on. All right.
Use your powers to melt his brain.
Nothing to see here. Move along.
So,
Connie. All right, well, is there enough of a pause that Connie could move to the front of the wagon?
If she moves quickly, yeah.
Quickly, then? Yep. Yes.
Okay. All right, you move to the front of the wagon. Do you say or do anything as you approach? Now, the man who is pointing the gun at your boss is, all right. He's a rather large, burly gentleman. He's with a chuffing mustache, if you will. Here we go. I wondered if Rupert was still on.
Sorry, yeah, the landlord's here. I'm doing some adjustments, so I've muted the mic.
Oh, that's fine. Building stuff. That's fine. Long as you're hearing.
Yep, I'm hearing everything.
Okay, good.
That sounds familiar.
He has what might be called a cybernetic eyepiece. But in this world, you'd call it a mechanical one. It's kind of infused into his skull. It's one half of a pair of goggles that has like metal bolts pretty much drilled into his cheekbone and his brow ridge, holding this thing on. It's rather disconcerting. It's red and puffy around it. It's probably been infected a few times, and as far as what it does, Probably just lets him see in stereo. Who knows? He is actually sighting down that eyepiece towards Sharla. You would kind of get the sense or intuition. He's no stranger to shooting and killing people.
Mm-hmm.
And he does. He seems to be the boss here. There are some people who are, there are some of the workers here who are looking on stupidly, gleefully at what's about to happen, wondering if he's going to kill this woman in cold blood. Others are kind of turning away. Most are turning away or sticking to their business of work to either avoid his wrath or just avoid him in general.
Well, that seems pretty intelligent of them.
Yes.
I don't think I'd want to cross this guy.
Yes,
either.
Very
but
much.
Connie is going to speak up
okay.
to him and try to calm the situation, maybe using her voice or whatever, whatever have you.
Sing him a lullaby.
No, just...
quick, put your dress on.
There's no need for that gun, sir. We'll move on. It's all right. And I nudge Sharla, like, we have to go.
All right, let's see here.
Shake that glass rod at him.
No.
I warn
mine.
You.
It's my precious.
These are precious. All right, I'll let you roll a 20 and a 4-sider and use your +2 to charm. You need a 12.
Excellent. I need a 12?
Yes.
So 20 and a 4-sider.
20 and a 4-sider and +2.
Okay. Jeez. 17.
Okay. Is that total?
Yeah.
Total with the 4-sider?
Oh, no.
Two?
That's with the 4-sider, but not with the... You said there was a +2 as well?
Yep, so 19.
8, yeah, 19, I can do math.
Okay. Well, I can't, I just...
I don't know.
Well, I almost said 17, so that's
basically,
why I said that.
Yeah, I basically guessed. All right, let me see something here. All right, needs to, that's, oh boy.
Does he start convulsing? Does he fall down to his knees?
No.
She's not awake.
She's not?
No,
Mike
she's
said
a,
she was.
She's a psychic. She's not a witch.
Same thing.
I never said that. All right.
Would probably view it as the same thing, though, so that's mm-hmm. screw either way.
All right. You were talking to him, right?
Yes, and then I turned to Charlotte to say, we need to get out of here. We need to listen to him and go.
He starts to lower his pistol and kind of step aside so that the wagon train may continue, but Sharla takes a deep breath. She's got one more thing to say.
Gee, shut up, lady.
You're going to need to roll for initiative. If you have a black chip, you may. She's going to say something to egg him on or basically call him a name. Something bad. You can see it. You can sense it. A normal person would be like, oh, shut up. But you, being a psychic, know this is bad news all the way around. Her last word thing. Charla's always been one for getting in the last word, and this is one that might get her the last word of her life.
Quick, smack her again.
So, you have to roll for initiative between her speaking and you doing something.
Can I just toss a black chip?
You may toss initiative. A black chip, yes. You have, and your black chip...
I have
chip,
two.
Oh, you know what? Roll a 4-sider.
Okay. 4.
You get 4 more black chips.
Wow.
But I'm going to give you 3. Now, George and Ray didn't hear
what
this.
What is with this?
Well, hold on. She's a psychic. For her to, she can cash in a black chip to ask for a prediction of something. So yeah, you're now up to 5.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're cashing one in?
I don't think I've had 5 all total right. in the whole game.
Oh, wah.
Thank you. Thank you.
I cry.
Thank you.
Play a psychic, you'll get lost.
Yeah, listen to this. All Ray, right. Here's something you've never heard.
No, I haven't.
That's okay. George, do you have a gold chip?
Yes, I do.
No, yeah, everybody's got one, including Dave, who's not here. How you feel, right?
Give that to him.
Oh, by the way, George. George, here. Colonel Humphrey needs to get paid.
see the life I lead.
The
abuse all right. I take.
All right, Connie, you win the initiative. She takes a deep breath. She's about to say something, and you do or say what? Or do and say what?
Unhand her!
Nobody... No.
Oh, let's go back to the future.
No.
Is she close enough that I could, like, put my hand over her mouth and just, like, just tell her shut up?
Yes.
Like, stay quiet?
No, I'll yes. burn her mouth.
So
yes.
that's what, you what Connie's going to do. Try to, like,
okay.
cover her mouth, kind of grab her by the shoulder and just like get her attention and say like just like shut up.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You're there, just push her off.
Yes, you do that, and you succeed.
No rolls for that?
No rolls for that. It's fairly easy to do because she's not paying attention to you. Her anger is so locked on the one-eyed man that you can just quickly grab her shoulder and slap your mouth over her, or your hand over her. You quickly kiss her.
What was that?
grab her head and kiss her deeply.
Now
that would definitely distract
Yeah,
now. Yes, it would.
You know what? If you did that, then they would ask the wagon train to stay.
They probably would, yeah. But we're not doing that.
No, you clap your hand over her mouth, and her eyes go wild and look at you, and the guy laughs. And he holsters his pistol, and he says...
All right, get the hell out of here.
And, Sharla kind of, looks at you and kind of pulls back a little bit and then just shoots him a quick glare, but then she goes to sit down to rein the horses on. She yells back for the fairies to get back on the wagon train, and they're like,
aww.
The guys are grabbing and groping them, and they have no idea what kind of danger they're putting themselves into. It's a good thing you're leaving. And he points at you and says,
but you stay.
Whoa,
Connie looks at him and shakes her head. No, I'm going with my group.
He redraws his pistol.
Oh, jeez.
He says, no, you'll stay.
Connie,
you got a pretty mouth.
At Sharla, come on, is there going to be some support here? Come on. It's I don't want to go. Don't let him, don't let this happen.
we're going to leave this at this point. Because several
that
things...
That eye thing was not just for sighting.
Was it what?
Half of his cyborg eye thing was probably more than just to sight a gun.
Probably. Maybe. I don't know. You don't know.
Maybe he's psychic.
But yeah, your look at Sharla is probably going to make her, go off on the guy again. And he's redrawing his weapon. There's not a whole lot you can do to get out of the situation. So we're going to leave it at this point.
Adventure.
Yeah, exactly. Yay, adventure.
Dun, dun, dun.
Rupert, she's pulled about 20 levers so far. And actually, not as bad decisions either. She did all the right things. It's like all these levers got thrown at you, and you had to pull them all.
Well, I mean, I guess Connie just could have sat in the back and
And Sharla would have been shot and killed, and you'd all be in trouble.
Then
if it was Derek and Ray right. playing, everybody
right.
would be dead.
Exactly.
Very review true.
Exactly.
Where you going, Ray? Is it pee-pee time?
Dickhead! You could have waited till we signed off. Oh, for the love of
Then we have to wait, and this can be edited out after. He never left.
Oh, no. I'm not going to do that. This is so... Until next time...
I'm George.
I go first.
You looked at me.
Are you ready, Rupert?
Rupert, are you ready?
The guy across... No, there might be some time difference.
We'll go... we'll start with... you guys on Skype, alphabetically by first name, and then George. All right, ready? All right, until next time, I'm Mike.
I'm Jen.
I'm Rupert.
I'm George.
And Ray's going to the potty.
He's going dinkle.
He doesn't get to say goodbye. Ha, ha, ha. And I'm going to take his last chip. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Steamrollers Adventure Podcast. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher Radio. You can download or stream episodes at rigstories.com. But no matter how you listen, please leave a review at iTunes. If you'd like to become a patron of the show, visit patreon.com/steamrollersadventurepodcast. Patrons of our show get great perks, including personalized shoutouts, free books, early access to audio or video materials, and more. Read the first novel in the Heart of Bronze universe in ebook or softcover. Visit Amazon.com to purchase Clockwork Looking Glass and visit RickStories.com for more. You can contact the show at SteamrollersAdventurePodcast@gmail.com.
Music in today's show included Sneaky Snitch, Long Note 1, The Chamber, Scheming Weasel Faster, Bittersweet, Evil March, Steel and Seething, and Face Off, all by Kevin MacLeod and Compitech.com under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 licensing.